This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Can we believe in Jesus but not be a follower of Jesus? James, the brother of Jesus, made this point in chapter 2 of his letter. Even the demons believe and they shudder, but does belief make one a Christian? In this two-part message entitled Believer versus Christian, Pastor Scott shares a formula used to determine whether a person is a believer or a Christian. This message was delivered on October 21st, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Thank you. So that was so beautiful. If you never got to see the movie, how many of you didn't see that movie? Oh boy. You know, they're going to show the second half of it this Thursday at Ray's house, right? Ray and Dot. Hosted by Ray and Dot, facilitated by John. They're going to show the second half of that movie. And when you watch this movie, it'll bring new meaning to that song. It's a really, really beautiful movie. So if you get the chance, go see John or Ray, and they can give you directions to his beautiful home. It's a slice of paradise up there in Waikeaouka with a beautiful fish pond and nice green grass, and good food, good company. Everything we connect to is food, I think. It's really good. But go check it out this Thursday at 6 o'clock. Yeah. Whew, what a week. Every week, it just flies by so quickly. And I still get excited to come here on Sunday morning. Sometimes, like this morning, I found myself up at 4:15, like before my alarm. Sometimes I do that, and it's like I feel like I get cheated out of some sleep. But yet, it's the excitement of being able to come here that gets me up so early. And it's so much fun to come here early in the morning. And I got up this morning and the stars were all out, and I was looking for the moon, but I guess the moon went down, and then when the sun came up, they seen the snow on the mountain. Did you see that? Wasn't it beautiful? When you see those things, do you say, like, thank you, Lord, because it's just so beautiful? And when you have God in your life, everything has meaning, and everything becomes more beautiful, and you come to appreciate things more, and you say, thank you, Lord, for showing me this. And I'm so glad that, you know, God's love chased after me, hunted me down, and finally my eyes were open. It's like, wow, I needed that. You know, when I came here back in like 1990, trying to run away from so many things on Oahu, and I came here. And when I came here, and I started working. A lot of times, I don't know why, but when I came to this island, a lot of people would ask me this question: what religion are you? It's like, I would get that a lot up here. I never got that on Oahu. Maybe they figure everybody on Oahu is atheist or something. But yeah, I got that a lot. Hey, what religion are you? And my response was like, well, you know, I really honestly couldn't say that I was a Christian, because my lifestyle, if you look at my lifestyle, was so not what a Christian should be like. You know, pretty much drunk every night, trying to get others to come along with you to get drunk. Words that would come out of my mouth that is not even fitting for us adults. And it was just really bad. So I really say, you know, I cannot say I'm a Christian, because if I said I was a Christian, and people would look at me like, well, I wouldn't want to be a Christian if that's what a Christian is like. You know, I believe that there was a God and, you know, Jesus, but I didn't put any faith in him, nor did my lifestyle reflect me having an active relationship with him. So I couldn't really say what I was. I didn't know how to answer, so I kind of made excuses as to why I couldn't call myself a Christian. I knew this, I knew I wasn't a Buddhist. I knew I wasn't an atheist. I knew I wasn't a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness. I was pretty much confused. Life without order, life without direction, just like lost out there. And my poor wife had to live with me for those years. Now this morning we're going to look at a believer just as I was back in the 90s, who believed that there was a God, but did nothing to follow or reflect a life with the presence of God, and one who is a true born-again Christian. And you get to kind of use this and look in the mirror and see where you're at. In James 2:19, you believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. Believing there is a God is not sufficient for salvation. It takes the belief that he sent his son to die for us, and that Jesus' death purchased a pardon for our sins that allowed God to grant us eternal life. The son's resurrection is proof that we will have that too. God didn't send his son to save the demons, so the demons, all they can look forward to is judgment, and that's why they shudder. So here, the thing is this morning, I want to see how we can get to believing, just being a believer, to being a Christian. So number one, a believer believes in Jesus. A Christian follows his commands. You know, I believe in the 90s, I believed that Jesus was the Son of God, but I did not follow his commands. Mark 8:34, he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Believing is good for salvation because we believe by faith, confess with our mouth. But I believe if we're going to become a disciple and more Christ-like, we need to follow what Christ instructs us to do and how to live. You know, if we love God, we would follow his commands. You know, when you love somebody, you listen. Now, if I was up here each Sunday preaching to you, but my lifestyle did not reflect this, you know, you'd see me out and about in the public, cussing and swearing in the bars, drinking and being drunk and doing stuff like that. And my lifestyle didn't line up with what I preach. Then you will say, well, shoot, I don't want to follow him because he says he loves and he believes God, but he doesn't follow him. You know, back in the 90s, I believed Jesus existed, but I never obeyed him or showed it in my language, in my lifestyle. I believed, but I wasn't a follower. I didn't do what he says. So there's a difference. And I've been there. Believe, but not do, not obey. Number two, a believer goes to church on holidays. A Christian knows that a church community is the model for their faith. Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Someone once quoted me this word, Christers. You ever heard of that? Christers, like what? Someone told me that these are the people who come to church on Christmas and Easter. Like, what? Christers, yeah, that's the guys, you only see them Christmas and Easter. And it's like, what? Where did you make up that word from? But you see those, right? Yeah, and I see at least they're in church twice a year, more than some other people. Twice a year. And that twice a year is our twice a year that we get to do our very best to reach them. Amen. And Christmas is coming up, so we better get ready. You know, some people just come twice a year. Others, we know that this is our community. This is our family. This is where I come to get my hug. Some of you only get a hug once a week. But this is where I get to get encouragement, love, prayer. This is where I get to bring my tithes, my offerings. This is where I get to break bread. You know, a Christian knows that a church is a community and is a model for my faith. And you know that. Sometimes, I know when I was just a believer, and my wife would, like, really twist my arm to get me to church, and I would fight her every single step of the way. And when the preacher said amen, I was out that door ready to go home as fast as I could, because I didn't understand that this was my community. Because I was on the outside looking in, I wasn't a Christian following Christ. I was just like, I believe that there is a God, leave me alone. I thought that was good enough for me, but it's not. Number three, a believer reads their Bible when things get tough. A Christian reads their Bible regularly. How many of you read your Bible regularly? No, raise your hand. Well, thank you, John. But yeah, you know, I read my Bible regularly, you know, because I know that if I don't, I'd be in serious trouble. I would come up here and not know what to say. You know, I read my Bible regularly for the past, I don't know how many years. You know, when we do this SALT conferences, it's kind of like they put us on the spot. Because somebody preaches or gives a message, and then they call us guys up, us pastors, and they put us on three stools, and you guys get to ask us any single question, and everybody's looking at you for the answer, and it's like, pressure. It's like they're throwing you under the bus, man, because if you don't have the answer, then what, right? So I thank God that I was taught to read my Bible regularly. Because you read your Bible and you deposit those scriptures in your heart. So when you need them, you have them. And it's so wonderful to have that. Because those things you take with you forever. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Oh, not just the parts that you like. Yeah? For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have success. You know, do you think of scriptures on Sunday when you're in church? Do you think of scriptures during the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Do you look at it only when problems come your way? Oh, I need an answer. Help me. Many times people come and they call me when they are in crisis. They come seeking a word from God. And I think if they read their Bibles regularly, you know, if you read your Bibles regularly, I might be out of a job. Oh, that's spooky, yeah? Maybe not. But if you read your Bibles regularly, man, you would have so many answers to so many problems. Sometimes people, when they're in a crisis, you sit and open up a Bible, okay, God, I need a word. Boom! And I hope it works. I don't know, it never worked for me. I always, you know, if I didn't know, I always sought out wise advice. You know, if you connect it to God, you read His Word daily, you will be equipped. You will not fall for Satan's schemes. Because you know Satan, he can use scripture. He can take scriptures out of context to deceive you. But if you know scripture, you know the context, you will understand when he's trying to use scripture to deceive you. If you're reading the Bible regularly, I just encourage you to keep on reading. And if you didn't start, then go get a reading plan and go start. And if you desire to learn how, you let me know. And we will do a class on how we read the Bible so that we can be equipped. Amen? A believer prays when things get tough. A Christian gives thanks no matter the circumstance. You know, this is me on the edge of the cliff, fishing, hooked up to a fish. Oh, please, Jesus, please, 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 Lord, please let me catch this fish. Please, 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 please. Pack. When I broke my fishing pole, fell down because the pole broke, fish got away. What did I do? I said, oh, Lord, that was a good fight, man. Thank you so much. Back in the day, back before this, I'd be cussing, swearing, and, you know, like, you know, using God's name in vain, even just, you know, throwing rocks in the ocean, getting all mad and throwing a tantrum. Now, even if the fish comes off, which happens a lot, that's why they call it fishing, but I say, wow, thank you for that fight. It was so awesome. You got my heart rate up to 135, which the doctor says I need to do, and I did it without running. Whoo, yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, and, you know, I pray when things get tough, but yes, I always give thanks for the things that I get to go through and the things I have, and even when the fish comes off, yes, thank you. Because you know what? He could have kept me out there all day casting and reeling in without a bite. And believe me, that happens. And when that happens, it's no fun. Number five, a believer knows about Jesus. I knew about Jesus. A Christian knows Jesus as his or her Lord and Savior. See, I knew Jesus. I knew of him. But I did none of these things. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Wow, that's spooky. There was a time when I knew about Jesus. I knew what he could do, but I didn't have enough sense, enough maturity to come to him and say, Lord, I need your help. I cannot do life on my own. Maybe pride was part of it. Maybe I couldn't admit that I couldn't do things on my own. Now I know that I cannot do things without him. I mean, I can try. How many of you tried doing things without God? Yeah, and I fail miserably. I fail miserably. I know now that I need him. I know that if I try to go through life without Christ, I am setting myself up for failure. You know, recently me and my wife, we went on vacation. And I'm going to tell you, we went to Las Vegas. People said, oh! I seen a lady in Las Vegas who I know. And she asked, the first thing she asked me, what are you doing here? She doesn't come to church. She knows I'm a pastor. I prayed for her family many times. She said, what are you doing here? It's like, I'm on vacation. I went to the Grand Canyon. I went to the Hoover Dam. I went to Red Rock Canyon. I went to Mount Charleston. I bought new boots. Oof, yeah. You know, we did many. There's so much things you can do up there without gambling. I did sin. I overate. Gluttony, you call that. You know, I ate and I ate and ate. But, okay, so we ate so much. Okay, me and my wife, we ate so much one night that we knew we had to walk it off. So we called an Uber, and we took that Uber all the way to the top of the strip. I don't know, was it Mandalay Bay? And we proceeded to walk all the way back to downtown side. So we made it all the way back almost to the stratosphere, and I think that day I walked like 10 miles. And my feet were sore already, so we called the Uber, and the Uber came back to pick us up, and the driver picked us up, and we were going back, and he asked me, "What do you do?" You know, I told him he was from Hawaii, and, "Oh, what do you do?" I told him, "Oh, I'm a minister. I'm a Christian minister." And then, you know what he tells me? "Oh, I'm a Muslim." I was like, "Oh, wow, first Muslim I really get to talk to," right? Then he tells me, "You know, I work so hard to provide for my family. I'm a good guy. I support these families in Afghanistan and my family here. And I'm trying so hard to do good and right things, but nothing seems to work. And I keep praying and I'm praying and I'm praying." So I'm sitting down in the back seat with my wife and said, "Well, you know," I told him, "sir, if everything was good and taken care of and money in your bank account, would you still be praying so much to God?" Then he stops like, "That is the first time somebody ever told me that my tough times would keep me closer to God." And so we thought, and then I told him, "You know, if you keep doing the same things over and over and over again, expecting different results, it's called insanity, right? I did that for 37 years. Nothing different happened until I came to God." So I was kind of telling him, maybe you're praying to the wrong God. You know, I said, if you're doing the thing over and over again, expecting different results, you know, maybe it's time for a change. So when he dropped us off at the hotel, he reached his hand back, and, "Can you pray for me?" Oh, me and my wife, we prayed that his eyes would be open to the truth and that God would reveal to him what he needs to do so that he will succeed. And I thought, like, wow, that is so cool that we got to do that. And hopefully that one day he would know who Jesus was. He was a really nice guy, and he actually asked me to pray for him. And I thought that was probably one of the highlights of my trip. And if you think going to Las Vegas might be a sin, then I don't know what to say, because I got to go and pray for somebody. And if I never went, I would have never met this Muslim guy named Mustafa and prayed for him. So now you know his name. Now you can pray for him. Really nice guy. But we, you know, how do we get from "I believe in Jesus" to becoming a disciple, a follower of him? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen? And I think that's like the first step we need to do. And to close out this message, if you look at the last part, you know, in every single statement of this message, you put an "and" between the first and the second part. And that's how we should be living life. Amen? A believer believes in Jesus and follows his command. A believer goes to church on holidays and knows that the church community is a model for their faith. A believer reads the Bible when things get tough and reads the Bible regularly, every day. A believer prays when things get tough and gives thanks no matter the circumstance. A believer knows about Jesus and knows Jesus as the Lord and Savior. So from getting from one to the other, Well, we need to ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, to come live in us, to transform our lives. Because if you come into church and you say you're a Christian, but if your life remains the same, something is not clicking there. Because I believe once Jesus enters you, he loves you too much to let you stay the same. Because I know he loves me so much that he didn't want to keep me the same. He didn't want me to keep me drunk and half-minded the whole time. But he transformed me from the inside out. Amen? So you may put away your notes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you, if you want to receive Jesus, if you want to go from a believer to a Christian, then with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, pray this prayer with me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? God bless you back there. Anybody else? Lord, you have seen the hands, the hearts. And they want to go from just a believer to a Christian, to a follower of you. So Holy Spirit, live in them, motivate them, begin to transform them from the inside out, because your love is fierce. You chase them down with every corner of the earth. You search them out. So Lord, for those who said yes, Lord, bless them, strengthen them. Use this fellowship to help them grow in you. We thank you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, if you said yes, you need a Bible, let us know. If there should be some yes booklet somewhere, grab one of those. It'll help explain your walk with the Lord. Amen. So, hey, don't forget, we got plenty of things coming up in the next few weeks. Please sign up, because it'll be hard for me to serve hot dogs and chili by myself. And if you're here, then you keep me accountable. I might not eat it all by myself. Right. So would you stand? We're gonna sing and shout. We're gonna make, the Bible says, we're gonna make joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Scott. God is good. Amen. And all the time, God is good. Let's sing that out there.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kaʻau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.